Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so many ni'mah, so many treasures that we cannot count, and about which the Quran has stated that if you wanted to know how much Allah has given you, you still could not gather and count. They are infinite, without any end, ni'mas and treasures. Every second, always, at every moment, Allah's karam and His grace and His blessing continues to rain down on the human being. Somehow or other, Allah always continues to give us the ni'mas. And from all the ni'mats that Allah Ta'ala has given to the human being, the greatest is the kalima. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Every ni'mah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do the hisab, the accounts in the hereafter. Every treasure and gift that Allah has given to us, every ni'mah, Allah will ask us, how did you utilize it or uphold its right? And the biggest question will be in the hereafter. Once, on one occasion, the gracious Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was invited by Hazrat Abu Ayyub al-Ansari. Al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, he was a companion. It's a complete event, but I'll just summarize it to you. And in that invitation, Hazrat Abu Bakr Sadiq was also present in that feast, and also Hazrat Umar and some other companions possibly. So obviously, the invitation was given, then he prepared nicely whatever he had at home and he presented it. I think there was some meat of a lamb and some dates. And when this invitation feast took place, meal, then not only Abu Bakr, he was hungry for some weeks before that. And not just Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, rather Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself was in hunger, extreme hunger. Imagine the hunger at that time. When the food was presented, then first and foremost, the gracious Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that my daughter, she also is very hungry from many days. Lot of poverty has a Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. And he sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that please send some food for her and her children. Subhanallah. Imagine here, the Imam al-Anbiya, the head of the prophets, and look at his condition. He is the master of the universe. And the Sahaba, noble companions, you cannot compare to their rank. And his daughter, she is the head of the women folk. This is their hal, their condition, that they have nothing to eat. And then the second thing that was discussed, and is a very important thing for us to understand, something we should feel and understand, and something we should compare. Another fact, because these aren't stories and folk tales. These aren't folk tales. I'm not telling you a story. This is that those people who are alive within, and whoever has a little bit of strength of iman, then after hearing these events, then a person shakes. And the objective of sharing these with you, these events, so that in these illuminated hours and days, in these times that Allah Ta'ala has given us, these days that Allah's name, may Allah Ta'ala strengthen our iman, and may our consciousness come awake. May we understand Quran as Quran, may we understand the hadith as the hadith, and don't take it as a story tales, rather Allah Ta'ala's message to us. And when a message like this comes, then at least minimum it should occur that the veins in our body and the hairs on our body should stand, that we are lacking so much compared to this. Because very quickly, listen carefully, that when now, for example, they were about to eat, then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said a statement. When they were about to eat, he said a statement that my companions, my followers, these are the ni'mas that Allah Ta'ala will take the hisab from us in the hereafter for this food we're about to eat. Subhanallah. And their hands stopped there. How hungry they must be. And they started to cry. And they said, hisab of this ni'mah, O Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They'll be reckoning, they'll be questioning. And they started to worry. But who are those people? that this ni'mah will answer for this, that we'll give the answer for this ni'mah, Allah Ta'ala, that you've given to us. But the greater ni'mahs that you gave to us, what about the recognition of that? What was that ni'mah that I explained to you? La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. That they considered the kalima as a treasure, as a gift of Allah. Wallahi, they thought it was a blessing. And from all the treasures, they said that this was the greatest, the kalima. That nobody can imagine. That me and you, we're sitting here, we can't imagine. And we're sat here, we're enjoying Ramadan. And we are preparing to go to paradise. And we are being made distant, far from Jahannam. For which reason? Fortune, go and ask that person who doesn't have this ni'mah, what is he doing at this moment in time? Does he know that all the angels, how are they coming down at this moment in time? It's the night of Jummah that's about to come. And further, beyond that, Ramadan's precious ashra, that nobody knows the value of this ashra. It's about to come. In the heavens there's rejoicing. In the skies there's rejoicing. Angels are being transferred. And they're preparing themselves. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. This ni'mah that Allah Ta'ala has given to us of iman, la ilaha illallah. This matter how dirty we are, broken and weak we are. But we believe. But may I give everything for this ni'mah. That due to this ni'mah, if Allah Ta'ala still hasn't left us empty-handed, He's invited us and sat us down in His home. He's enabled us to do dhikr. He's attached us to His masjid. He's allowed us to hear the Quran. He's allowed us to hear the hadith. And He's revived and refreshed our iman. So we should be awakened now. We should be awake. So if this is the hal of the ni'mah that we question, what about the ni'mah where we say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah? We don't consider this as a treasure. Great gift of Allah. Great treasure. Great ni'mah. And this ni'mah, due to this, Jannah will be given. Due to this, our status will be increased. Due to this, we'll get maqamat. And due to this ni'mah, we will see Allah, the sight of our Lord, due to this ni'mah. But is this a minor ni'mah now? The ni'mat of the kalima. Today if we stop eating chapati and bread, and if this is taken away, we'll be upset. If one ni'mah was to be reduced from our body, if our one eye stopped seeing, what would be our hal? One ni'mah. One gift of Allah. If Allah didn't allow our tongue to work, or the taste was to be lost, or corona came, we lost taste and we're upset and we go to the doctor and get tablets. Is this not a ni'mah? Are we now, do we understand? What a great ni'mah and how we utilize it. So this ni'mat of Allah, the greatest one. So, for example, to understand that we should not waste any ni'mah, isn't it? That's our way of thinking. We try our best. We don't want to waste anything that is given. We have injection. We take medicine for good health. We do things. Why? Because we don't want to waste this ni'mah of health. We have so much fikr for our health. My brothers, think about la ilaha illallah, the greatest ni'mah. That how much we need to protect it. How much there is a need to protect. Ask those Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions. They had empty stomachs. They used to break the fast with just one date. All the companions. Subhanallah. And to save the great ni'mah of the kalima, to protect it. What did they not do during their life? Yes, they were laid down on the fire and their bodies were cut. Why did this occur? What were they protecting? The question arises, what were they protecting? What were they protecting? They could earn the dunya. They could earn money. Yes, if we have brains, do we think they were stupid and they didn't have any brain cells and they didn't know how to earn the dunya, how to earn mal? No, but their sheikh did not tell them about dunya. He told them about the akhirah. Thereafter, their sheikh, the Sahaba Ikram, who prepared them, that institute, those people, he did not pull them towards the dunya. He made them pay attention. He said, look at it from your eyes. This dunya is going to end. Why are you running off this? That if you protect this ni'mah, the ni'mah that Allah Ta'ala has given to you, that when you will be asked about this ni'mah, then if you present the ni'mah, then the doors of paradise will be opened up for you. And this won't be those doors that they came and he took over this house and he had something in the world and his ceiling collapsed. He doesn't have this or he doesn't have this. No. Such a house, such ni'mahs of paradise, that if we take one example of Jannah, of paradise, what will Allah Ta'ala give as a reward? That whatever Allah will give in Jannah, it will continue to multiply and grow. One jannati, his beauty will be so great, it will be so beautiful, the jannati, I don't have the words to describe. Me and you, say subhanAllah. Me and you, there won't be beards. Don't worry, there won't be beards. Today, for example, you'll be beautiful in a different way. Today, keep the beard in this world, and unless it's due to the barakah of the beard in the hereafter, you'll be a beautiful young man. There'll be no old age in paradise. There'll be no white hair. There'll be a husn, a beauty, such a beauty that the hoors will run after you. They'll run after you, and it won't decrease. Now here in this world, a man, he's young, he's youthful, then he makes muscles, he does bodybuilding, he does fitness training, he becomes handsome. After some time he gets ill, then he goes downhill, then the age increases, and the needle is increasing 30, 40, 50 years, 60 years, and his body is getting old and physically frail, and the hairs drop off his body, they become white. But then in the hereafter, in the hadith, it states that when there's a young man, beautiful, handsome, everybody will be young and beautiful and handsome in the hereafter, in paradise. And when a person, we will be so beautiful and young, then the Sardar, Hazrat Imam Hassan and Hussein, imagine how beautiful they will be, because they are Sardars, the masters of the youth in paradise. So when that Hussein, that beauty will come out, be exposed like me and us, because we are Jannati inshallah, with the fadl of Allah, with Allah's grace, we will get paradise. Always hope for paradise. So what will be the hal of the people of paradise? That when they'll come out from their palaces to wander around, go on a trip, when they come back, then their hoors will say, subhanallah, subhanallah, what's happened to you? They'll say, that face that you left with, your beauty has multiplied and got even greater now. Subhanallah. Every second, every moment in paradise, there'll be multiplication, increase. Anyway, khair. What that knows, what that will be, Allah knows best. And what will these be rewards for? The paradise rewards are for what? For which treasure? That Allah Ta'ala gave to us for what? If we protect this ni'mat of what? La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. You understand my point? So I'm not giving a speech here. Rather, I'm sitting here and sharing with you the reality of what is life in the hereafter. That how can we go into paradise? Do you understand what I'm saying? This is a discussion. I'm sharing this with you. I don't have ilm or amal greater than you, mashallah. And mashallah, in this gathering, there are such good people, respected scholars that sat here. They can give the speeches on these points, but Allah Ta'ala has gathered us. So we are just discussing regarding during Ramadan. These points. So what fikr should we have concern? That whatever we are to attain in the hereafter will be due to one factor. La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. To protect this iman will give us the reward in the hereafter and the station in the hereafter. So how do we protect this iman? Should we have guards? Security guards? Should we have a pistol next to us? Or should we put padlocks on the iman to protect it? No, there's a unique point. Listen to my statement. Listen carefully. This is the Khanqah of the Fakir, the statements that I learned from the Khanqah of the Fakir, and I'm sharing them with you, very precious jewels that come from their mouths. Alhamdulillah. And life past is a waste of time. But Allah gave me such a great ni'mah that a part of my life was spent in the Khanqah and picking up the shoes of the Wali of Allah. So those same statements I learnt and heard, I'm sharing with you. To protect iman, you can only do that from one thing. If you don't protect your iman with that one thing, then remember, never can you protect your iman. To protect this kalima, la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, to protect the kalima, through amal, through deeds, you can only protect. Whoever does amal on this kalima, listen to what I'm saying carefully. Whoever practices la ilaha illallah, Allah's orders, according to Muhammad Rasulullah, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's physical demonstration. So the Shariat and the Sunnah, la ilaha illallah, if you practice that according to the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you are protecting your iman. Say subhanallah. Whoever you see do this and he's immersed in his life, busy. Allah's ahkams, Allah's orders that are incumbent upon us, lazim, and he's practicing Allah's orders. This is also conditioned because Muhammad Rasulullah is the second part of the kalima. What this means is that Rasulullah Sharia and Sunnah, according to the Shariat and the Sunnah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you are implementing Allah's orders. Then that individual 100% is protecting his iman. 100%. That's the two conditions. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you like what I'm saying? Now you understand two parts. The biggest, what do we need to protect? The greatest treasure that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, which is Iman, if you want to go to paradise. And how do you protect the Iman? Allah's orders that He has given to us. How do we implement them? The way that Rasulullah has demonstrated to us physically, via His Shariat and Sunnah, when we practice those deeds, then that individual, tomorrow on the Day of Judgment, he will wake up. Allah will say that this Imana that the treasure gave to him, he protected, and 100% he fulfilled the right of that Imana, the trust of the Kalima. Third point, listen to this as well. So this is not easy, is it? So the noble companions, radiallahu anhum, look at their lives, that they had difficulties, problems, worries, poverty, hunger. That why did they persevere through all of this? Why did they persevere patiently? Because, subhanAllah, they had the company of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sohbat-e Rasul, and they understood through the Sohbat that to protect the Kalima will only be if we correct our deeds and we stand firm on the right practice. Then we can take this amanat, the gift to Allah, otherwise we cannot take it to Allah. Do you not understand what I'm saying? So to protect the Kalima, due to that protection, the problems, difficulties, sorrow and sadness that came to them, they said, we are prepared to bear all of this, but we will not step back from this Kalima. We will live our life, that if the order comes from the Kalima, pray Salah, life may go, but Salah will not go. If the hukam comes, orders out, pray namaz, not at home, but in the masjid, in jamaat. They said, the companions, doesn't matter what happens, Allah orders come, and the tariqah, Rasulullah, according to Sunnah and Sharia, you have to go, and you have to pray salah in this place, I'm giving an example. So the sahaba used to run where? To the masjid to pray salah. What is this? This is the protection of this kalima. Allah's hukam, His order, they are persevering, enduring, and they're accepting, and for salah, what did they do? The hukam came, pray salah. Allah's hukam came. So, He protected His kalima, because the hukam has come. So how does He implement that hukam? According to the Sunnah and Sharia of Rasulullah, what is the hukam? The Prophet said, go and pray your salah in the masjid, in jamaat. And the Sharia excuses, they have been explained. They are excuses. But if you don't have a Sharia excuse, you must go and implement your salah in the masjid. This is the haq of the kalima, of this treasure that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Hukam has come. So here now, what happens? That here the test starts, the exam starts. That the hurdles come in between, barriers. There are two enemies to the akams of Allah. When Allah gives orders to practice the orders, there are two enemies. One is internal, one is external. External enemy will stop you to practice Allah's amal. They say don't do it. They're enemies, aren't they? The enemies that will stop you from implementing Allah's akams, they will say don't do this. They will make excuses. They will give you tabligh that don't practice Allah's akams. They'll give you greed. They will make you scared. They will grab hold of you. لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. This is the difference between gham and khawf. But the person with iman will pass this test. He'll say, no, you're leaving your shop and going to pray? Are you mad? Leaving your business place? What will happen about the customers who are coming? The yaro, pray salah afterwards, qaza. Oh, pray upstairs afterwards. Yes, is this not happening today or not? Tell me. So what happens? Is that hukum of Allah, Rasulullah sunnah and sharia, according, he doesn't implement the hukum of Allah according to the sunnah and sharia. When he doesn't do that, he doesn't protect the iman. And if he doesn't protect the iman, then he has been looted. Allah's Nabi said that he who leaves salah, he is ruined, destroyed, he is looted, his house is on fire. Why? Because one hukum of Allah, he's broken it. And the kalima, the protection of the iman, he broke that protection. So what does this meaning come? That whenever we are stood in the world and we want to protect the kalima, it's not a joke. It is not a joke. This is such a great asset. The greatest ni'mat in the universe. Why do we play games with the deen? Why do we not understand these points I'm making today? Why don't we understand the points I'm making today? And how? Why is it that we are not alive inside? Because when a human being sins and sins and sins, his heart becomes like a rock. This is the sign when Allah's orders come and it doesn't affect his heart. He has no fikr, oh, what amanat this is, la ilaha illallah. Oh, I don't care about this. Oh, it's no big deal. I don't need to practice. When this recognition ends, then the biggest chronic disease he has got in the universe, and inside he's become Abu Jahl, and his heart is destroyed. It's become dust, and the words of the deen don't affect him. such words of the deen. He says, what's this? It's not important for me to practice. It's a minor. I don't need to do this. But he who has the wealth of iman inside and he has recognition, he shakes. Ooh, this is correct. How can I continue like this in the sinful state? That I'm wasting the amanat Allah Ta'ala has given to me of iman. So this is the external world that stops him. And secondly, are the two enemies inside us, nafs and shaitan. Internally, these are two very strong enemies. Nafs, ego in a soul, and shaitan. But shaitan is nothing compared to the power of the nafs. Shaitan is something, but nafs is the worst enemy. Why Allah says in the Quran, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّهَ وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَاهَ. The success is what? Allah doesn't mention shaitan. He who has overwhelmed his nafs, who has overpowered his nafs and controlled his nafs, who's beaten his nafs, and has sold his nafs for the sake of Allah, that human being is the successful human being. Subhanallah. Remember this point. So what do we need to do? When Allah's order comes, then look at the two enemies, shaitan and nafs. First, externally, the world, are they stopping me? And internally, the nafs and shaitan. Allah orders, keep the bed. I'm giving examples today. I'm not criticizing anyone. I'm not pestering anybody. I'm not criticizing. I'm just telling you Allah's orders. Allah's order comes, keep the bed. Allah orders, keep the bed. But the dunya, external dunya, people in the dunya, externally enemies of yours, are you mad? Keep in the bed. The people call you Malana Sahab, you're fundamentalist, you won't get a wife, you won't get a partner. Thousands of excuses, hurdles will come in your way. And then inside, nafs and shaitan will stop you practice. Now, you can't keep the bed. Subhanallah. So this is the fight of the mu'min. Fantastic fight. This is mujahid. Haram and halal, this is the same. No wearing parda, no hijab, same. Immodesty, the same. Musing and singing, the same. Wherever Allah's orders come and are incumbent upon you, and those ahkams of Allah, external forces or internal, stop you practicing, then 100% He is protecting His iman, just like the Sahaba Ikram protected the iman. Allahu Akbar. So to practice the deen, the mu'min who practices the deen, remember this message. Whoever stands firm, says, I want to protect my iman. And kalima, don't look for excuses in this world. Don't look for enjoyment in the world. Remember this. Inside, in front of us is the scene of the Sahaba Ikram. The sketch of the Sahaba Ikram. That those great individuals didn't look for excuses to leave the practice. Every second they said that we have been given this kalima as a treasure by Allah. And we need to go back to Allah with this kalima. With this kalima. So the company will come, distress will come, sadness will come, difficulties will come. Remember, things will stop you, nafs will stop you, the generation will stop you, people will stop you, your family will stop you, your relatives will stop you, society will stop you, and your nafs will try to control you, and they'll give you false claims and false promises. One thing will be honest at that time. One thing will be honest at that time. That what did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say about this situation? That's it, end of story. No, do this brother, don't do this. He said this aloud. You don't need to do this. I can give the proof. Yaar, no, it's too hard. He's a wali Allah. He says, you don't need to do this. Everything's permissible. After hearing everything, say one thing. In the end, tell me, what did Rasulullah say about this? Subhanallah. What did Rasulullah say? Whenever it comes, Qala Rasulullah, end of story. And he said, this is the deception of my nafs, deception of shaitan. This is not the right path, what you're saying. اَدْنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. I don't want to follow these paths. There's only one path. Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's the one path. That's the end of story. Nabi's path. Sunnah path. Wherever a person comes out of the sunnah, then he is fallen into the prey of shaitan and his nafs. He cannot understand. This is the struggle in our lives. In our life, life is not a game. It's a struggle. Food may decrease. But remember one thing, that this is just for a short time. Third, fourth point I'm coming towards for you. That difficulties are there. Issues will be there. Tests will be there. Exams will be there during the life. Tests will continue. You cannot stop any of them. But you need to see that how much do we take a stand in opposition to the challenges. How much do we make a stand and live our life? The rest of the time, for example, your life is not according to the right. If you leave or if you come, sometimes you pray salah, sometimes you jamaat, sometimes you recite Quran, sometimes you go tabligh, sometimes leave tabligh, sometimes chella, sometimes don't go on chella, sometimes you practice, sometimes you don't practice. You are making the deen according to your desires. Never can you succeed. Never. Every single action the mu'min will give over for the sake of Allah. What does Allah order here? Sometimes there are challenges. We think that it's important to work, it's necessary to work. But as order comes, that this moment, this is not necessary, do this at this moment in time. You have to do this at that time then. So what will we say at that time? That this thing, at this moment in time, we are leaving. Allah has given hukam, there's no benefit, you must do this action at this moment in time. So the ahkams of Allah, they come at different times and different things. Allah's preference is what takes precedence. Allah's hukam, Allah's order, Allah's selection. We can't make something bigger or smaller or important or less important or minor. This is more important or this is not important. No. We cannot classify. Not everything is something important. Salah will not be important every single day. Day. Hajj, etc., fasting, that different things during the day, in normal days is stated, that is lazim for you, that you eat food for your nafs, so that you can give water and food to your body to satisfy your nafs. But then fasting comes, Ramadan comes, Allah says, no, don't eat or drink, stop eating and drinking. So what becomes greater? That those things that before was in order, and now during Ramadan is afzal to remain hungry. So the hakam changes. So whose hukam goes? Allah's, according to the time and the day and the need. Don't say this ibadah is great, I'll do this. Allah's given timings for different ibadat. Different things are greater at different times. It can never be. It can never be that time of Zuhr, Allah selected Zuhr Salah for Himself. And at that time you say, oh, Salah time, Zuhr time. Oh, let's pray Fajr time at this time. Will you pray Fajr at that time? No. Allah says, no, Fajr time is that time that I've selected. And this will be the time, and this will be the sky, this will be the light. At that time you pray Fajr. After that you cannot pray Fajr. Say Subhanallah. Yes, Salah is the same. Tilawat is the same. Sajda is the same. But you are praying Fajr Salah at the time of Zuhr, then you'll be given a punishment. It's a sin. Because you are changing Allah Ta'ala's ahkam at the wrong timing. Rather than the reward you are earning, Jannah. So what we realize is Allah's order, same hukam of Salah that Allah Ta'ala gave. But what you do at that time is what Allah Ta'ala orders at that time. That is the great action. Do you understand? So now to understand this point, when the human being, he understands that today we make the niyyah, that this life we have to live the life of the deen. Don't live the life 50-50. 50-50. So everything you have a measurement, gauge, analysis, and those people are the best who to attain the best life, that we will live our life according to the deen. They say, let's learn a little bit of knowledge. Say Subhanallah. That's why you learn knowledge. The yar, let me learn the ilm so that it's easy for me to practice after keep on going to Mufti Sahab, Mulana Sahab. Why don't I learn the basic deen myself and attain the ilm? When I attain the ilm, so I can live my life according to the deen. Allah says, this man is the greatest man who to improve his lifestyle, he learns the ilm, he's greater than the angels. This is the alim, the scholar. Have you seen the difference? If I say that I'm alim, I'll become a Mulana Sahab, so I give speeches, so I can debate and tell people off and put people down and give daras. That's not the ilm. That's not the niyyah. Niyyah for learning ilm is so that I can understand what is halal, what is haram, so I can leave haram. What is the ud of Allah, so I can practice, so that my whole life can revolve around protecting the kalima and implementing Allah's orders. Via our deeds, we protect. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. Otherwise I ask for forgiveness. Ramadan's a waste, Hajj is a waste, Umrah is a waste. Everything is a drama. Because we are not comparing our actions versus Sharia requirement. Hajj also Allah Ta'ala refuses. Sometimes many events, Sahaba Ikram didn't get ijaza, permission. You see how great they were personalities. As Uwais al-Qarni, rahmatullahi, tell me, he did not have ijaza that you can come and see me, said the Prophet. Either he lived at the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine that Sahaba ikram, a person became a Sahabi by seeing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he didn't go and see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because his mother was weak and the order for him was to do the khidmat of his mother. So his daraja didn't go down. His rank didn't go down. Such a great personality that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there's a darwish, a follower of mine, he lives in Qarni. After I pass away, Ali and Umar radiallahu anhu were ordered to Sahaba, great Sahaba, that you go to him, and when you go to him, ask him to do dua for my ummah, because his dua is accepted. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. So what was the order at that time? That Subhanallah, he was given the order, better for you is to do khidmat of your mother, not to go and see Rasulullah. That was the order. He said, okay, fine, because I'm not going to follow my nafs. He said, I have to protect my iman, and protection of the iman is according to the hukum of Allah and His Rasul. So Ramadan will be accepted and fast will be accepted that time, that when we do amal on the ahkams of Allah, when we cut our beards and we keep the fast, we listen to music and singing and we keep the fast. So you can decide yourselves. I'm not deciding. I'm not a mufti. You decide with your brains that what order of Allah are we accepting and what order are we rejecting. Allah is one. Rasulullah's order are one. So if you say that I don't believe in one order of Allah is nothing, then how many orders of Allah did Shaitan break? And he didn't even break it. He just put an excuse forward, Shaitan. One excuse. And how many millions of years of ibadah did he have when Allah Ta'ala made this world? Allah gave an example. Be careful. Be careful. One order of mine is very precious. One order of mine is very precious. So that's why Allah Ta'ala presented the example of Shaitan, so we can understand. So that we read it time and time again in the Quran, that he left one order. Totally live your life from morning until evening the same way. Until Hatil Yaqeen, until death does not come. And on this basis there will be difficulties, problems, sorrow, sadness. فَإِنَّمَا الْأُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّمَا الْأُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Small verse I've explained to you. Who did this get revealed to? The Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And who was the message to? The Ummah, the believers. That, O my Mahbub, do not be upset. We are seeing you, I'm watching you, I'm watching your Sahaba. I'm looking at your sorrow, your sadness, I'm looking at your children, the difficulties, the barriers, the hurdles. But you hear, O Rasulullah, and give this message to your mom. Until Qiyamah, there will be difficulties upon difficulties. Swearing you will hear when you practice the deen. People will throw shoes at you, they will curse you, and they will degrade you, they will belittle you. They will dishonor you, but they don't know how respectful you are. Your Rabb knows you are the most respected people. And if you want to earn the best respect, then do amal on my words. If you want to follow them and get respect, then there'll be no more wretched than you in this world and the hereafter who follows them. Allahu Akbar. So now you can do the hisab and decide, is your deen your own deen or the deen Allah gave you? Is it your choice? You can practice what you want, leave what you want? No. Every second action we have to ask, what does Sharia say? What does Sunnah say? What does Sharia say? What does Sunnah say? If we follow this deen, remember, then you will not get any burden. You'll get no problems. Allah says, فَإِنَّمَا الْأُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Every difficulty will come on you, but Allah has given encouragement to the whole ummah with this small verse that don't worry through the difficulties. Distress will come, but your Rabb promises to you that after these problems, ease and simplicity definitely will come. Comfort will definitely come, and that will be such an ease and simplicity, and very quickly it will come, Allah says. All you have to do is stand firm on the deen during the tests and examinations. When you're told this is haram, leave it, don't do it. Then whether you get loss or problems or sadness, then you understand that you say, I cannot do this. End of story. And in compensation for that, you cannot imagine the compensation Allah will give to you for that, the reward. Yes, innama al-usri yusra, innama al-usri yusra. Rasulullah was told this, don't be upset, my Nabi. Allah said in the Quran. So this is the encouragement for the ummah. That Allah's fadl, His grace, His blessings, His mercies will not leave the mu'min. They will always be with you when you practice the deen. Difficulties will come on you, it will happen. But remember one thing always, that after that, Allah Ta'ala promises that the exam, the challenges are only for a little bit of time. After that, the ease will come to you. According to Allah Ta'ala's selection, maybe He'll make your dunya easy, or maybe He'll make your akhirah easy. But keep standing firm on the deen, don't leave the deen. If you get scared and run away, then you failed, then you have not fulfilled the promise to Allah. So this is a great message of Allah. And this is the message for our life, my brothers. Stand firm on the deen, stick to the deen. Doesn't matter what society you're in, doesn't matter what environment you're in. Everything we take the guidance from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sunnat and shariat. Wherever you are, never listen to anyone. Sunnah, what does Sharia say with regards to this matter? I need to do it. For that, doesn't matter how much you have to sacrifice. If you want to protect the treasure of Iman, then sacrificing the dunya is nothing, because the reward, the compensation is very great indeed. Do you understand today's sabak? Do you understand today's lesson? Allah Ta'ala says that, my Mahbub, I love your ummah so much. But they are such that very quickly they forget the sabak, the lesson. They very quickly, the ummah forgets the sabak, the lesson. So when you sat in a good environment, a good, for example, you go in Jamaat, Noor comes. When you come back from Jamaat, then you become weak again. When you sit in a gathering with a Wali Allah, a Majlis, you get strong. And then after you leave the Majlis, you get weak. Allah Ta'ala says, I know the weakness of the Ummah. But Allah says that I won't let them go into Jahannam. Allahu Akbar. This is your Ummah, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I won't let them go into Jahannam. Every moment I will prepare for them paradise. Allah Ta'ala has prepared for us paradise that He sent us a month, this month, which is called Ramadan. Which is called Ramadan. 11 months there in the year. Not one month has the glory, the status of Ramadan. Not one month. Why? Because this has come this month to save us from Jahannam. Not by fasting. Not due to Taraweeh. There's no ibadah apart from the fast. In fasting, in Ramadan, there's no ibadah apart from fasting. There's no ibadah. These are those ibadah that we do 11 months. The Quran was there before, we do it now. Salah was before, we're doing it now. Ramadan, dhikr was before, we're doing it now. There's just this change, but it's no new ibadah. That, what is the new ibadah in Ramadan? Fasting. Fasting. And that is connected to just one thing. The Ramadan has come to make us practically implement. Say subhanallah. Ramadan has made us practice what we forgot. So it's come to remind us that we have forgotten the sabak, that we need to stand firm on the deen, stand in this test and the exam of the world. Don't step back. Don't run away. This is what nafs says. This is what shaitan says. We have to practice the deen of Allah according to the shariat and the sunnah. According to the shariat and the sunnah. That's the condition. And we have to strengthen this sabak, this lesson, that Ramadan's coming to revive, refresh and remind us, because the exams will come, tests will come, challenges will come. But it says after that promise, innamal usri yusra, the ease will come after that, so you can become strong. That's the message of Ramadan with us. How? How? In the fast, during the fast, Allah has given us this message. Allah Ta'ala says, in the morning, leave food, leave drinking, leave your passions, leave your lust, leave lying, leave fraud, leave deceiving, leave music and singing. Fast! The fasting person is the same person. The person who's kept the fast, he has to do these things. And the person who doesn't compromise, who just leaves food and drink. In the hadith, it says that you are just hungry and thirsty, there's no benefit of your fast. You're just foolish and stupid. Then eat and drink now. If you're not going to do the orders of Allah, then eat and drink during Ramadan. Why are you making yourself look stupid? If you are disobeying Allah and you are walking around hungry and thirsty, what fast is that? That's a waste of time. Fast has come to revive the deen. The hukum of mine has come, Allah Ta'ala says. Like the other orders of Allah. Allah says, all my orders stay hungry, thirsty. Here, Allah says, go and ask those people 45, 50 degrees Celsius temperature. There's heat. And the mazdoor, the laborer is working. And in the sari time, he has no food to eat. A sari time, just the dry chapati and water. The rest of the day, he works for his children. This is 80% of our ummah in our Muslim countries, population who struggle. We are sat here, just a few people here. After this, we'll have cold water, khajoors and dates and food. And we're big Muslims, we've kept a fast. Ask that fakir, that beggar, that poor man, whose children in the evening, they have no cold drink to drink. They have nothing to drink. Yes, and that, for example, in the evening there, rather if the evening's too far away, in the morning after 10 a.m, their tongues are dry. And we have kept those fasts when we were young, myself. 70, 80 degrees, 100 degrees. In Multan, our city is very hot. Very hot is our region of Multan. So brothers, that you will realize at that time when the laborer works all day long and to earn the bread, and then he's grateful to Allah. Allah have kept the fast. How is he grateful? That his fast is strong. He's got the beard. He prays salah. And he fulfills Allah's orders. And he is called the fasting person. He is called the fasting. What sort of definition have we in the morning we don't eat and drink during the day and we're fasting? This is not the definition of the Sharia of fasting. The fasting person is he 100% morning until evening. Allah's orders, he does amal just like Allah ordered. Not you're hungry and thirsty watching cricket match, football match, you're passing time here, gap shop, backbiting, ghibat, and you're joking and mocking people. Maybe you open the Quran and read a few pages. They keep on reading Quran then. Quran says there are many people I curse while they're reading me. Because they are not practicing. So they are just kissing and touching the Quran with their foreheads. Why are you touching the Quran with your forehead? What Quran are you reading? What verses are you reading? Why are you hopeful? Quran's giving you a straightforward message. Save yourself from the sins. Improve your faces. Improve your appearances, your libas, your attire. Have haya, modesty, leave lying. It's not come for reading. It's come for practicing his ahkam. Say subhanallah. And you keep on reading at the Quran. One small verse of reciting.
do. And the whole deen is sealed in there. Innama al-usri yusra. Fa innama al-usri yusra. The whole deen. That don't be scared. Stand firm. My Nabi, just like my Nabi and like his Sahaba, the time will come to you. Tough time will come. Don't keep a fast that you got sins and you're hungry and thirsty. Keep a fast. No one sin are you practicing, so that in the evening you can be defined as the fasting person. So do you understand my words? I don't know if you're understanding what I'm saying. I don't know. So has anyone kept the fast like this? This is the fast. So now let's look into our lives, look at our faces, look at our actions. And then we look at our thirst and our hunger. Tell me. The straightforward deen, this is our religion. This is not some deceit and a dream. We are deceiving ourselves. Whenever the order comes and you're sinning, what do we say? Allah says you're doing dhulum on your own selves. You are sinning and you're deceiving yourself. You are committing fraud with your own self. Why you are zalim on your own self, Allah says, when you sin? You are deceiving yourself, destroying yourself. Foolish man, stupid. Is there a more stupid man? You are sinning and you are satisfying yourself that you're jannati, jannati. If the Quran is saying, you're not listening to them. Allah is saying, you don't understand that. No, not this. No, it's okay, I'm fine. I've got to fast. I'm going to Jannah. Allah's going to give me paradise. He's going to be good news. Then you'll understand when you die. So what do we realize and learn today? That when we want to stand firm with the deen, problems will come. This is the deen. Totally, 100%. That don't practice anything against Sharia and Sunnah. If you got the fast, then the fast is revising. Reviving, we don't drink, eat, no lust, no lying, no cutting the beard, no trimming on the beard, no watching TV, no music, no singing. 100% don't do nothing. Because you've kept the fast. Yeah? Yes, otherwise, this is not the fast. If you've kept the fast, then all these things you stop, then what happens? 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, Allah Ta'ala says that distress comes in his life, hungry, thirsty, we feel like going to your wife and your children, you want to hear music, you want to hear singing and music, everything, but you are standing firm on the deen, I do not want to spoil my fast. And he is hopeful of what? He's hopeful for what? Then no problem. Inshallah, Ramadan will pass. After that, the enjoyment will come. Yes. So if in the morning I leave food and drink, at least that these 9-10 hours after that, I can eat, I can drink. It'll be easy for me after that. So this is the practice of the deen. That your life you spend like this as well. Just like the fasting person. You say no problem. Very quickly the evening will come. That my life will end. That my life will come. Just like the fast came to iftar time. Same way I don't leave the deen. I don't leave Allah's orders. I will not leave Allah's ahkams. I will implement them. And I will persevere. I will endure. Doesn't matter what come may. Because what will be the happiness after that? The good news will come. That radiyatam mardiya. When I depart. Part the world announcement, your Rabb is happy with you. Your Rabb is happy with you. Allahu Akbar. So do you want to please your Lord, our Lord? Yes. Do you want to please your Rabb? Yes. Then follow this formula. Alhamdulillah. And every part of our deen will pass through our life that we know. After this, a good, great, good piece of news will come. Endure the difficulties and imitate the Prophet at the highest grade. Imitate the deen on the highest grade. Encourage yourself. Drive yourself. Give yourself courage and determination and you will get the greatest reward. And that there's no differentiation in deen. That here you can practice, you can't practice in another region. Wherever Allah sends you in the world, wherever you live, stick up the flag of the Sunnah and the Sharia that I am going to live my life like this. Allah sent you to Spain. We go to Spain, what do? Allah will put the flag on a stand that we are living here and earn and live and sleep. But our life will pass according to the obedience and imitation of the Prophet ﷺ. On our heads will be imamas, beards, libas, Islamic dress, Islamic appearance. But we will practice in the dunya, business, doctors, engineers. Everything we will do, but our appearance, our lifestyle, internally, externally, we will not change it. We will not change it. And whatever difficulties come, for that is ajr and thawab. Whatever barriers come, difficulties, for what reason? Because we are protecting our iman, our kalima, this deen of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَإِذَا فَرَقْتَ فَانْسَبْ وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَرْغَبْ. What does Allah Ta'ala say? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that my Mahbub, my beloved, do not worry. You are practicing, you are persevering, practicing the Sunnah, enduring. Don't worry. I will give you the sweet ending, what you need to do. Quran is telling us, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْسَبْ. Tell your ummah that when you do mujahidat, when you struggle, and problems come, difficulty, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْسَبْ وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَرْغَبْ. That in isolation, seclusion, come and do my dhikr. Come and remember me. I'm not saying this. I put my hands up. Who's saying this? Who is Allah telling? Allah's Nabi, why is he saying? That when you work hard and make effort, Alam nashrah laka sadrak, that your heart is opened up, go and do the work of the deen. I've sent you into the world. You have a team ready, the sahaba, you persevere, but give them a message, don't worry, don't wilt, a light will come. At that time, seek the guidance that in the seclusion, isolation after doing tabligh, problems come, difficulty come. Faida farak the fansab, then turn to your Lord, turn back to your Lord, remember him, do his dhikr, and he will give you ease and comfort. Allahu Akbar. So problems, difficulties to be saved, don't leave the deen, rather run back to Allah. Faida farak the fansab wa ila rabbika farghab. Tell me what a great message Allah has given to us. If we do these actions, if difficulties comes, problems comes, what should we do straight away? Raju ila Allah, run back to the dhikr of Allah. If you go on tabligh, especially for tabligh, in Raipur there was a Khan Kaaba, Kabri in a pious priest as a sheikh. Zakaria Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, his uncle Hazrat Ilyas rahmatullah alayhi, when they came back from tabligh, straight they go to the khanqa and do chilla and spend time there and do dhikr and adhkar. It's in the kitabs because they practice according to the Quran. They were doing a great work of the deen, tabligh, propagation of the deen, dawah and tabligh. When they came back, the hukum, same as the Nabi, that after leaving the difficulties of the world so our iman can get strong. Because when you go and do the work of the deen, it's not easy. Today is easy for us, but in the older days when they started the work of the deen, they were given beats and sticks and swears and scolding and difficulty. Whoever stood for the work of the deen, it's not easy for that person. Yeah, you have to see that I'm in front of you, look, it's easy, but in my heart there are many wounds that many of you people have given. Say subhanallah. Many wounds on the heart. It's not easy to do the work of the deen. Yes, ask my heart. That what wounds there are and scars on the heart, by subhanallah. فَإِذَا فَرَقْتَ فَنْسَمْ. When I sit in the dhikr of Allah, all the wounds are healed. All the wounds are healed. Whatever Allah Ta'ala prescribes, whatever Allah Ta'ala gives to his Habib, that my Babub, don't be upset. Doesn't matter how many difficulties come. How much pain must have come when the Prophet was sworn at and the people pestered him and threw rubbish on him. Imagine the difficulty he had that time. Imagine how Allah felt at that time, the pain that time. But Allah said, do not leave the work of the deen. My Nabi, do not leave the work. You are extremely beloved to me. I love you so much, at Allah. Extreme love for you, O Rasulullah. There is no hisab between me. That between me and you, the love, nothing can compare. But remember, my Nabi, remember, do not leave your work. Do not wilt. Do not shake. I'll give you a secret. Just keep on remembering me. Keep on doing my dhikr. Allahu Akbar. So what difference does it make if the human being does the dhikr of Allah and sits down, then listen ahead? Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this ashra, the final 10, Allah ta'ala has given us 2 ashra. Allah has made us do mujahida, first 10 days, second 10 days. After that, the third ashra, the final, Allah says, inna mal usri yusra. Now the rewards come. Now the subhanAllah, the final phase of Ramadan, then the first 10 days and the second 10 days, Allah made us do mujahidah, effort, we worked hard. Now Allah says that I change in the last phase, the third 10 days, the last 10 days of Ramadan. Look, Allah Ta'ala's principle. The same Ramadan is going. Allah says the color and effect of now is different. Now you'll get the reward. They did mujahidah, they worked hard. When a person does mujahidah, works hard, goes to the hereafter, then Jannah will be decorated for him. He did mujahidah, he worked hard, he protected his treasure. Now open the doors of paradise for him. That's why Allah Ta'ala makes us that same principle in Ramadan. The first 10 days and the second 10 days, Allah says they worked hard. And in the last 10 days, Allah says, I want to give them reward. What reward does Allah give? That in these last 10 days, there's such a night in the last 10 days. What? Subhanallah. What is in the last 10 days? The 1,000 months is greater than 1,000 months. That's the reward. The reward of what? Not those who kept the fast, but they're not fasting people. It's for those people who fasted and they're fasting people. Say subhanallah. They're classified. It's for those people, Laylatul Qadr. I swear by Allah and say this in the masjid. That person who kept a fast, then definitely he will attain Laylatul Qadr. Whoever kept the fast, and the definition of the fast I've given to you, that he kept the fast for that reason. So Allah Ta'ala says, now in the last 10 days is the reward. When do I give it? I won't just give it like this. Allah says, I feel my servant is alone, isolation, and I rain down the rewards above him. So he was an ittikaf, say subhanallah, isolation, seclusion. So the greatest ibadah is what? In this last 10 days, the greatest ibadah is what? Isolation, seclusion,
isolation, and with that dhikrullah. These are two ibadahs. And that's it, nothing else in the last 10 days. You can do whatever you want, sleep, go, Allah says, and do ibadah, just do one action. What do you need to do? Allah says, ask from me, keep on asking from me, and the reward is coming to you. And this is the way, this is the ashra of asking from Allah, receiving. We need to open up our treasure chest and ask from Allah in isolation. There are two types of isolation. One is this, that whoever Allah gives tawfiq and he's capable, he has no excuse, no muamalat, he can sit down with ease. Now Allah says, go and sit down in the corner of the masjid, itikaf. Itikaf. Okay? And he's got the isolation, the seclusion. And after that, we'll do what? Just wait that night and open out your cloth and keep asking to Allah, Allah give me this, Allah give me this. Wallahi, whatever you ask, Allah says, I'll put that in your treasure chest. Subhanallah. And then, Laylatul Qadr will come. All the barakat you will receive and attain. Laylatul Qadr, when will it come? Look, Allah Ta'ala, what a great, fantastic ibadah. Isolation, seclusion, and dua. So whoever cannot go into seclusion, itikaf, then sharia excuse is to go in tabliq, or work of the deen, or deeni muamalat, or other reasons, valid reasons. He cannot sit, he wants to sit in itikaf, or he's got some issues, he can't sit in itikaf. Everyone should sit. Everyone should sit in itikaf. Or if he's got reasons, he can't, but he wants to get the reward. If he wants to get the reward, then sit in itikaf. Go, where Allah Ta'ala is calling you, inviting you. But those people, it's hard for them, difficult, they're occupied in other things are more important, then he even has isolation, seclusion. What's that? There are two types of seclusion, isolation. One is with the curtains, you detach yourself from the dunya. And one is with the heart, the isolation, seclusion, being alone, being alone. So Allah says, then adopt the isolation, seclusion in the heart, be alone. Go into maraqabah. You understand maraqabah? Learn maraqabah from a wali Allah, from a sheikh, from a darvish, Naqshbandi teacher. He will teach you maraqabah. What maraqabah? Your hands are in the dunya, but your heart is attached to Allah. You are with Allah at that time. And this is a great isolation, great seclusion. And the people think he's talking with us, smiling. He sat with his wife and children, but he's not there. He's not there. Where is he? He's with Allah at that time. And this is called maraqabah. This is high class status of dhikrullah, maraqabah. The tongue is stopping, no speaking, no volume, his mouth is closed, everything is stopped, but his heart is attached to Allah and he's doing dhikrullah. Subhanallah. Life passes, we become old, we go into the grave. Nobody knows what is maraqabah, even at that time. No one knows what hamni lataif I've got. They read the Quran, you're reading ilm and knowledge and hadith, but they don't even know the inside us. How many lataif there are, positions where you learn the name of Allah, that they call out to Allah, the latifas, aswab Allah. Every ruh, every atom, every inch in your side, if the wali Allah makes you alive, then they start saying, Allah, Allah, Allah. I swear in this masjid during Ramadan, and I say this clearly, that so many treasures are present within us. Bukhari has finished. We've studied Bukhari, we've studied Siyar Sitta, we've done hifz of Quran, but we've not studied ourselves inside, we've not understood inside us our inner state. Then how will we be meeting Allah? All the treasure inside, in your life, in your body, they are parts of your body. The mashayikh akram, Allah Ta'ala has given them the knowledge, the alqah, Allah has made it apparent to them. The latifas within us, not a small knowledge, the whole subject of the tazkiyah, that the walis of Allah, they introduce you to Allah, they teach you the dhikr of Allah, and every part of your body calls out, Allah, 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 Allah. Every part of it is not a drama that we sit down and do dhikr Allah. I swear by Allah, whoever sits with me and does dhikr Allah, every latif of his calls out to Allah and cries out to Allah. The maraqabah that we do, we sit down, we're silent, our necks are bowing down, but inside out our latifas are saying, Allah, Allah, Allah. And this is called maraqabah zikr. Subhanallah. But we don't know. We say we don't have no need for this. We are not going to succeed with this. We don't need to do dhikr Allah. What a great loss. What a big thing we are losing out on, the human being. Allah has given us the oceans and the rivers in front of our house. But due to takabbur and pride, due to our deception, we don't want to submit and we don't drink the water from the fountains Allah has given. You have to bow down. We are this. We are this. We don't need to submit. We don't need to drink this water. This is takabbur and pride that shaitan had. And insan is he, the human being. Even
even a little bit of ilm you learn that can introduce you to Allah, meet you to Allah, make Allah happy, then submit, oh Shaykh, teach me the ilm. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, a great Shaykh, and he went to a place, a villager, a dervish, an old man, and he went to him, and he took him, and he's Imam of his time, the Mujtahid of his time, and the king used to stand in front of him, and that dervish, he's walking with him on the horse, and they're saying, Hazrat, you're the scholar, and you're walking alongside this fakir who's on the horse, and you're walking. He laughed and replied, thou foolish man, due to him I became the Imam, he's my teacher. Subhanallah, if he did not give me the marifa of my Rabb, I have studied the kitabs, I've studied the Quran, but he introduced me to my Rabb, that what's inside you, understand what's inside you. The Subhanallah. Whoever has recognized his Lord, whoever has recognized his nafs, he's recognized his Lord. So brothers, we don't do anything. We are dramas, listen to dramas, look at dramas and speeches. We don't do anything towards the amal. From life, amal is made, paradise and jahannam. So this is not a speech. I told you in the beginning, what is this? This is a discussion between us. If you like my words and understand them, then try to do amal on them. Have the tawfiq. This, don't waste the time of listening. These are the moments of Ramadan. I repeat again and I summarize that the objective of our life is what? That the biggest treasure Allah Ta'ala has given to us is what? Say loudly, Iman. Faith. And what do we do with our Iman? Kalima. Kalima is the greatest treasure we have to present to Allah. How do you protect the Kalima? Through Amal. Deeds. Which deeds? That Allah's orders according to the practice of the Sharia of the Prophet Muhammad SAW. You fast according to the Sharia. Your face, appearance, dress, attire, everything, and then you keep the fast. That is called amal. You pray salah just like Rasulullah SAW demonstrated to us salah. And that is salah, that is called the deed. That is amal. Do you understand? I'm summarizing to you. So when you do those amal, what are you protecting? The kalima, iman. And what do we do to do this? In this, the problems and difficulties will come. Sadness will come. Sorrow will come. To persevere and endure through this, innama al-usri yusra, Allah says you persevere now, and tomorrow you will get paradise. You will get the rewards, compensation. That's the deen. Summarize, finish, end of story. That's the deen of Islam. We will practice this, then tomorrow with his eyes, he will see. May Allah Ta'ala give us the opportunity, tawfiq, to practice, and may we do amal on this. Ameen. Let's do a little bit of dhikr for a short while. Let's go towards Allah. Fa'idha faraqta fansab. That we have done tabligh, we have spoken. Now we cool the heart with dhikrullah. Dhikrullah. And this is the tariqah, sahih tariqah of the sunnah. When you do tabligh, after propagation, you're free from tabligh. You see, it's the halaqah of dhikr. Go and sit there straight away according to the sunnah. That I'm doing amal on the sunnah, so that my amal can become stronger, so that I can do tabligh even better. Say subhanallah. Okay, recite Durood Sharif.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين شفيع المذنبين طه ياسين الحبيب الأمين اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد نبي الأمي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذرياته وأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا 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 اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهزلنا وجدنا وقتلنا وعمدنا كل ذلك عندنا اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم استعذنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته واشرنا بزمرته يا كريم اللهم اعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا واستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الله جاءه من الأنبات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.